The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. So I'm interviewing today my friend John. And John, how did you come to know Jesus?
Well, I grew up in a liberal Indian church, so I really didn't have a lot of good exposure to teaching, but I grew up in a family setting that was pretty religious. We did family prayers, scripture devotions, and even hymn singing twice a day. So it really gave me a framework for, or at least system set in place to understand Christ. But it wasn't until I did my high school in India. 4 years of my time there were formational in me recognizing the corruption of my own heart, seeing the brokenness that's in the world and even in myself, seeing the emptiness of my own heart, seeing how I was a slavery to man's acceptance. And these were all issues that I was struggling with, really with no hope. It was until I came back here for my college in the Middle East that I was exposed to good teaching. There were good, solid Christian Bible studies that were going on that were independently led. And at the same time, there was a student ministry happening at my own college. And it was in these places that I heard the gospel. More than providing an answer to what I was going through, it pointed me to Christ. To see the grand narrative of what God was doing in reconciling sinners to himself. So that's how I came to faith.
So you're unmarried. What are some ways you have found to use your time now? What does a typical week look like for you?
So when I'm not working, what I'm doing is just meeting up with people. Usually relationships are formed organically. It often begins with asking them how they've been doing spiritually over the past couple of weeks, seeing if they have an accountability partner, someone that they can share their life with and their struggles with. And then if these are people who, like me, grew up in a church setting that wasn't feeding them, I usually take the time out to invest and to sit down with them and read scripture together. People who, like me at one point, aren't plugged into a good local body, those are the kinds of people that I'm more inclined to or burdened for because I've been in their shoes at one point.
So, I mean, you're making it sound really easy. Maybe it is. You start reading the Bible with people and wonderful things happen? Or do you have to kind of help them understand the Bible? Or what does that look like?
So, well, reading scripture, it's most often been with other students. Because I've been a student for the past, I don't know how many years, 20, 19, 18 years. I've just gotten into working with the company right now. But so far, I've been reading scripture and doing life with students. How does it work out? Well, it depends on where they are spiritually. If they're newer Christians, I'd usually read a topical book with them to help them formulate or articulate truths in scripture. Help them to gain clarity. So usually books like What is the Gospel? The Cross-Centered Life. And with some other Christians, I even read J.C. Ryle's books to give them a right understanding on what it means to believe, to have faith, and to pursue holiness. But in a lot of cases, I just read scripture with them. Simple books like Ephesians or even 2 Timothy, because these would be Christians that may or may not have a right understanding of the church. And so walking through and seeing what it means to be a part of a local community, a good body and a congregation.
Well, I mean, there might be a guy listening to this who says, you know, John, that really sounds wonderful, but I'm a really shy person. I don't know if I could do that. How would you try to encourage somebody like that?
Well, all of us have to get out of our comfort zones. What did Paul mean when he said, and the love of Christ constrains us? You know, and so you're bringing Christ's appeal to be reconciled to God, knowing that the time is at hand and the day of hour is nearby. So just carrying those biblical truths that really make us uncomfortable, you know, to sit in our homes and just do our stuff. But to know, it's to have a right biblical understanding that, hey, souls are perishing. Day by day, people are passing into the darkness of hell. Those are the truths that make me uncomfortable and make me want to reach out to people to make sure of their calling and election. So it's just spending more time with scripture and with really difficult texts like these that call us to engage other Christians and even non-Christians. Yeah, so it begins there. And then it also means seeing other Christians who've gone before me, who've set an example. So being around with Christians who have been intentional and engaging. There have been a lot of people like that who've engaged with me before I've engaged with others, and they've really set a model for me. And so what I'm really doing is imitating them as they've imitated Christ.
So how do you decide what things to focus your time on and what things to say no to?
Well, the only aspect or the filter that I use is this thing that I'm going to do, is it going to help me serve the kingdom or not? Will this relationship or will this activity help me to get to know more people or not? Or moreover, will it help me in my walk or not? Would I be doing others a lot more good by being around with them or not? So just filtering out events and activities that would serve him. So when Paul says, don't use time unwisely, but redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil, knowing that time is bleeding in a very real way, and someone who's 20, 22, it's really difficult for me to see that right now, because I can be deceiving myself seeing that, thinking that I have so much of time left in my hands. But just knowing that that's not the reality, the day is evil. So just having a filter, seeing if it serves the kingdom, I'm all in for it. And that's what I prefer over other things I could have done at that time.
And so now, like, if you're explaining to someone else, how would you explain to them what is the gospel?
So the Bible claims that God is a creator of the universe. He's a creator of the world. He created us to be in a fellowship with him, to enjoy who he is, to enjoy the relationship that he has with his own son. But when man was given a choice to be independent of him, to be outside of him, he took it and he rebelled against God and said, God, I can live without you and make my own decisions. And we see that every day, even as we look around in the world, men fighting for their own rights, for their own will, wanting to be in control over their own lives, how they want to be God. So what we deserve is his wrath. But we know that from scripture, he does not leave us to our own peril and judgment. He sends his son to effect a reconciliation between us and him. And what he does is Jesus takes on that penalty that I deserved. He takes on my sin, not only the penalty, but he's broken the power of sin by conquering death, sin, Satan, and even self, just so that I can be reconciled to him. And more than that, to enjoy this fellowship that he has created me for with his righteousness. So the good news is a glorious hope to not only be reconciled to him, but also to experience eternity in being in a living, unseen relationship with the risen Christ.
You know, a lot of young men your age, from your background, are going to live in the U.S. or Canada, but you've chosen to continue living in a Middle Eastern country instead, at least for now. So why is that?
Well, it sounds like an easy question, but it's really a difficult one, something I've been struggling with ever since I came to faith. Usually because people in my background, I've seen a lot of people move and are moving. They see the West as a place of security, a place where they want to entrust their kids to, knowing that they'll get the best education there. It's a land of abundant resources. It's in light of all these things that there is a struggle even with me. Do I go or do I not? To that, the only answer I have now is, if security is what I want, then that really shows that I'm struggling with my security with Christ. Is Christ not enough for me? Is he not my anchor? So it's a question of why am I really wanting? Why do I want to go to the US? Mm. Is it to have a sense of stability and security in material things? Mm. Do I want to secure, what does it mean to secure a life? I mean, if I get married, for my kids, you know, what am I entrusting them to? Do I want them to have a material sense of security where they sleep over their souls to end up dying and going to hell? So it's really a question of seeing unseen realities before you, before these decisions are jumped into. That's not to say I don't want to go to the US or to Canada. It's more like what will help me best serve the kingdom right now. Someone told me, you know, where God has placed me is where he'd like me to do ministry. And so it's just being faithful in that for now.
I think if some of these families could go to the U.S. and live with families with children for a few months and then decide if they want their children to be like that, that might change their minds. Just any general advice you have for other Christian young men that are not married yet on how to use their singleness while they're single well for the Lord?
I think we live in a consumeristic, transient, impulsive, quick, rushed, passing, hurried life of age. And even with people in the 20s, so much of energy and we're bubbling and we want to do things and get into activities and life. And those are really good impulses to be spent for the kingdom. My advice for them and even for myself is to spend a significant amount of time alone with Christ and with Scripture, to cultivate a heart of patience and watchfulness. When the psalmist says, my soul waits for the Lord, and his word I hope more than watchmen wait for the morning. Just cultivating a heart that enjoys and loves God's word, and more than having a head knowledge to be convinced of the truths of Scripture, that would be a fuel for a lot of Christian men, and even for myself, to be able to serve and be spent well, to do things out of a genuine conviction for the lost, to grow relationships within the church, and to have a steadfast hope. But it begins with being alone with Christ, maybe a neglected discipline among those who are in the 20s, who can be impulsive and rushed. So that's what I say for myself, to grow in more and more.
Okay, so John, as we finish up here, could you pray a prayer for your brothers that are going to be listening to this?
Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God that saves men and women from all tribes, all nations, all age groups, from all economic and social standpoints. And Father, we pray for those who are yet... who are yet not given a partner, who are yet waiting for your coming, who are more free to serve you and for your kingdom. We pray and ask that you would give them clear, specific examples on how they can use their time wisely, knowing that the days are evil, and more than that, that they would enjoy a real unseen relationship with the resurrected Christ in their daily walk and in their daily communion with you. We ask, Father, that you would open doors for them every day for them to share the mystery of Christ, that their good works would adorn the gospel, but more than that, that they would be a light in their workplace, in their communities, in their families. We ask, Father, that they would be spent for your kingdom, that they would be called good and faithful servants for your name's sake. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher and fruitful single of the 1800s, whose relationship with Christ made an amazing impact before he died at age 29, said, "Oh, how sweet to work for God all day and then lie down at night beneath his smile." Can you relate to that? If you have any thoughts about today's interview, want to send a message to John, or know somebody else I should interview, you can write me, daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. Until next time, may Jesus bless you with fruitfulness. And remember, don't waste your singleness, because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.